Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Scarycast. This is Dr. John Stamey. We've had a few technical difficulties this evening, but we're here and we're excited to be here. So let me get everybody connected. I think everybody's waiting in line and we will be online. So give us about 15 seconds and we will be there. Hello, hello. How are you doing tonight?
Hey.
Hey, we finally got connected. We had a few technical difficulties, but sometimes we do that. But anyway, we're glad to be here. This is Dr. John, and I know that I am talking to Robin McCray, and I am talking to Pat McCray. So how are you guys doing this evening?
Good.
I'm doing pretty good.
Well, good. We're glad to have you here, and we'll probably have a few other people coming on real quickly. But anyway, wanted to say thanks for being here. We got an exciting show. Pat's got some great stories. Robin might have a few stories too, right? Right, Robin?
No, not tonight. I'm just a guest host.
Okay,
tonight, Pat gets to talk.
Oh, that's great. Well, now let me tell you something. I was talking with Dr. Trey Donaway, and we were having a lively discussion, and I was telling him about Christmas 2 years ago when I was at your house. Does that ring a bell?
Yes.
And Pat had some binoculars, some do you remember those, Pat?
Yeah, I remember those.
And we watched, we stood on your front porch and we watched Bigfoot directly across the street. Do you remember that now?
Yeah. Funny that you mentioned.
Go ahead. Excuse me, sir.
Go ahead, John.
No, I was just saying, I'm sorry, no, please go ahead, because this is kind of your, I'll let this one be your story, because it was a lot of fun, so tell us about it.
Well, you're talking about videos and pictures and stuff like that. We've got an area over here that you can go outside and almost guaranteed you get something in the picture. I'm not kidding.
Okay, now where is that physically located at your house?
Yeah, I mean, the front or backyard, sometimes the side, but matter of fact, I sent you a picture today of the Dogman. You got that, right?
I certainly did, and that was interesting. I saw those two little eyes, and it was really cool.
You could see his muzzle, and you could see his ears. I mean, it's not the greatest picture, but you can get a sense of what is in there. Now,
exactly.
Robin was out in the backyard one day, and Cheekin used telepathy as well as I. And she went out in the backyard, and a dogman said, I think he said, come out in the backyard and take a picture of me. And she goes, oh, no, you're just fooling with me. You'll say that, and then you won't be there. He was there. She took a picture. He's about 25 feet up on a tree. Now, dogs don't climb trees. Dogmen do.
No, you don't mean dogs don't climb trees. I'm just teasing, of course.
No, they do. Those dogmen can get up a tree just like everybody else.
Yeah, he was up there.
Yeah, he was high. He was way up there. He took a good picture, though.
Yeah, you can see his ears, and he looks, I'm serious, he looks like a dog, but he's up in a tree.
Yeah, you can see his snout and everything. I mean,
yeah,
he took a really good picture. I told him that if he did not let me take his picture, because that was what he kept promising me if I came out. And I told him, I said, if I go out there and I don't get a picture of you, then that means you're a liar and I'm not talking to you anymore. Like, don't even bother coming back because you're not going to be welcome because you're a liar. I never dreamt I'd get a picture of him. Never in a million years. So it was pretty comical.
Well, sometimes good things happen to those who wait. Is that correct, Robin?
Yeah, something like that. But he was a pistol. His name is Nico.
God, I've got a friend named Nico. I'll have to tell Nico next time that there's a dog man named after him. That'll be great.
We have a bird named Nico, and I said to him, I said to the dog man, I said, you know, is that really your name, or are you just giving me that name because, you know, that's who you want me to, you know, you're used to the bird in here, and that's where you got the name. Oh, no, that's my name. And I said, I doubt it.
A lot of times when you're talking to a Bigfoot or, you know, just, I guess, another being or something like that, like sometimes the Bigfoot will tell you, oh, this is Susie, or, you know, just like when you call some of the call centers in India, they'll say their name's David, but it's not. So, I mean, that's okay. I mean, sometimes they'll give me, you know, their real name and stuff like that. Most of them are kind of sound like Indian names.
Really, do they? That's kind of interesting. But anyway, did he give you any further information about himself?
No. He just wanted to feel my energy. That's all he wanted. That's what they always tell me.
Now, we have to mention somebody. We have to mention Job.
Oh, my God.
Yes, we do.
You tell him. He's not even a Bigfoot. I don't know what he is. You can tell him about Job.
Check this out. So I'm driving, like I'm going to Walmart or something, and then I'm driving, I hear this, it's something in the back seat. And it's like, he goes like this, he goes, meow. I'm sitting there, and it was coming from the back seat, and I go, you know, I said, well, I go, who is this? In my mind. And he says his name was Job, and he needed our help. And we went ahead and we helped him for what he needed. And he's home right now, he says. But me and Robin were driving in the car. This is so funny. Okay. And he was on the front dash. No kidding. I swear it. And then what happened was he came in between the middle of us, and he went in the back seat, and you can hear all the boxes moving as he went into the back seat. And just, we were laughing about it when it was happening. And I think I drifted off to sleep one time, and I was floating, and I found myself on a ship or something. And something came at me. I don't know if it was Job, but had suckers. It looked like a small monkey with suckers on his fingers. And then as soon as he jumped toward me, I woke up. I don't know if that was Job or not, but I think he said yes. But just a bunch of wild stuff. And that's one of the ones for the books. Say, you know.
Wow.
Well, he looks like
really
something
cool.
That needs to be on, like, Lost in Space.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was at a factory. What was that? Wolverine Shoe Factory.
Yeah, we used to have a Wolverine Shoe Factory in Morganton, where I grew up.
Oh, really? Well, anyway,
yeah.
I am like just doing my job or whatever, and a lot of times I'm just trying to show that it's not all Bigfoot who we communicate with. And this was an ET, said he was, I don't know if you remember this, Robin, he was fighting on another world for Earth, I think, or he was on Earth fighting, and he needs some assistance from you. Do you remember that?
Oh, I don't know. There's so many of them that do that. I mean,
yeah, I know.
Really, it's like, you have no idea.
No, it's a lot. We really we communicate with a lot of Bigfoot. And not
and
just
a
not,
lot of all kinds of creatures. I mean,
yeah, all kinds
Bigfoot,
of
Bigfoot. Everybody goes on and on about the Bigfoot and, you know, how scary and how everything is. And, you know, they blame them for everything under the sun. And trust me, the bad ones do a lot of damage. They do. But there's more good ones than bad. But there is so much stuff out there that people have no clue. Absolutely
yeah,
no
know.
Clue. You know, we have a cryptid running around here. I've tried for 2.5 years to figure out what the heck this thing is, and I still don't know what he is. But he doesn't hurt anybody. He's just living his life. So it's like, okay.
and Robin, speaking of out there is Dr. Trey Dottaway, our Surgeon General. How are you doing tonight?
Good, John. I'm sorry I was out there. It completely slipped my mind, even after I talked to you this afternoon. But thanks for reminding me so I could hop in.
Well, that's okay. We're certainly glad to have you. And we've got Robin and Pat McCray, and they're relaying some really interesting stories. I mean, I love their stories because, you know, we just don't get stories like this from people, especially with two people. And the first thing that I did, you and I discussed it. I talked to Pat about when that Christmas when we were using his infrared binoculars and watching a Bigfoot across the street. It was magnificent.
Those
yeah,
binoculars, could you
get a size of the Bigfoot through the binoculars? Did it just show a? I don't know what it looks like.
I didn't see it. John and Pat saw it. Yeah. I mean, John and Pat saw it. I didn't. You can get an idea. Like, that's what I started to say. These binoculars, they came about in a very bizarre way. Igor came to visit, Igor Borsev, and somebody he knew had a pair. And he got here to visit. He stayed 3 or 4 months, and he's like, we got to get a pair. Robin, we have to have a pair. It'll help with our investigations. And I'm like, oh, okay. So we found the exact pair this other person had. And he asked me, he said, do you want us to have these? And I said, yeah, let's get a pair. So he ordered them and they came here. He did not like them. He wanted nothing to do with them. He didn't want me to explain how to use them because you can take video, you can take pictures, which I'm no good at.
Well, why didn't he like those?
He couldn't really get it to work. And he didn't want to read the book, which I'm just as guilty. We make Pat read all the instruction manuals. But that was the whole problem is he, you know, he looks through it. I had no problem finding what I was looking for through it, but he had a harder time and he did see some, but then he couldn't figure out where to put his fingers in order to record or to snap the pictures. And it wasn't as simple as he thought that it would be.
Mm-hmm.
And he liked it for a few minutes, and he's like, we've got to get a tripod because that way, you know, when you're holding it, you're kind of bouncing all around. We need a tripod. And then we never got around to getting the tripod because at that time we were doing a ton of conferences that summer. Like, we were gone all the time. It was exhausting. And so we didn't get the tripod. And he's like, ah, I've got other stuff to do, you know, that's not working out as good as I wanted it to or I had hoped it would do. And he got ready to leave. And before he had left, I said to him, I told him, I said, Pat and I are going to have to get a pair of these because, you know, they were about $400 or $500. I mean, they weren't cheap, but they were in the grand scheme of things for that type of product. It was a decent price. And I said, I absolutely love them. Like I was using them every night. Pat was using them. And he said, well, don't buy any just yet. Don't buy any just yet. And I said, well, I can't buy any just yet anyway, because I don't have the money. But, you know, that's something that I would like to get. So when he got ready to go, I said, so are you getting everything packed up? And he said, yeah. And I said, and you think you're taking my binoculars, right? And he started laughing, and he gave me a hug, and he's like, you're not going to let me take the binoculars, are you? I said, they're your binoculars. If you want to take them, go ahead. I said, I'm just going to go ahead and get another pair. No, I will leave them with you. He said, that way you have them. He says, you know, don't buy another pair. He says, you will use them more than I will. I said, okay. So they've been here ever since. He's not getting the binoculars back. Just putting that out there.
Well, when you look at something through those infrared binoculars, can you actually see the object, or do you just see a blob of light that indicates you're seeing an infrared light source? And are these the kind that shine infrared light on, and then you illuminate them with infrared, where that wouldn't be in the visible spectrum, at least for us?
It's like night vision.
No. Yeah, it's like night vision. Like you can see them. You'll be able to see them moving. There'll be a black shadow, but it'll be a different color than, per se, the rest. It doesn't make them like a heat illuminating like a lot of them do.
So it's not a heat sensor binocular.
No, not at all. And it's really nice because, like, we'll look out in the backyard with them, and you can see it makes everything around it look a little bit lighter. You can see them running around the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and our son-in-law, Ryan, really likes them. He's used them a lot since he moved here, and he was out one night, and he came in and got me, and there was an ET standing right across from the driveway, and he's like, Mom, you got to see this. You got to see this. So he was looking at it through the goggle or the binoculars, and it would raise up, and it'd poke his head, and it'd look all around, and it'd go back down behind the bushes. So I went over, and I start walking towards it, and Ryan is like, what are you doing? What are you doing? I'm like, obviously, it's not here to kill anybody. Otherwise, we've already been dead. You know? And then when I got close to it, it took off into the woods. But, yeah, we've been able to see ETs with it. If it's out there, we can see it. It works out really well.
I'm looking at infrared binoculars on Amazon, and
that's where we got
$169, $212, $99, $139.
Yeah, we paid.
So I think the prices have come down probably because, as with all technology, it gets cheaper over time.
Yeah, the one that we had or that we got
about
was
three something.
No, it was $400, I think, four something.
Yeah,
with taxes and everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like it. It came with, you know, obviously it came with a nice case and everything, which is always pleasant, but it came with a cord so that you can put it into the TV and put it up on the screen, or you can put it and download it into the computer. It's got a place for an SD card. It's got video, as well as you can take regular pictures, you know, so that was very nice. It's got a lot of cool features on it. To be honest with you, I need to get off my Tukus and put an SD card in it is what I need to do, but we never have gotten around to doing it, and I forget about it until we go to use it. And then all of a sudden it's like, gosh, why didn't I put the SD card in, you know? And it's got the forward and backward button so you can, you know, you can get close to it or back up from it or whatever you need to do. And we've seen quite a bit of action with that thing. Pat and I saw a lot of action two nights ago. We were trying to put the dogs out. We weren't, like, out there, you know, trying to meet the foot. It wasn't a meet and greet. Normally, Pat goes out at night and lets our kennel dogs, they're in the garage. I mean, God forbid any of our animals have to be out in the weather. And he goes and they're bigger dogs, and he lets them out in the backyard where it's fenced in to go to the bathroom, and he does it every night. And I happened to be in the kitchen, and I said, oh, I'll go do it. I said, you can walk out with me. And we were talking. You know, and we're carrying on this conversation, and I let the dogs out in the backyard, and they immediately went to the back fence, and they normally don't mess with my fence. Like, it's really, it's not up there, like, with anything heavy, you know, metal post, that's it. And they slammed that back fence, and I thought, what in the world? And our Pyrenees, of course, is white, and it looked like a white blob behind her. What it, and I'm like, what? She's not that big. And I looked back there, and I saw a white Bigfoot walk out of the woods and then drop down on all fours with its butt up in the air. And it went, I mean, this thing moved. It was hauling. Went across the backyard in front of the tree line, and then it went to go in the woods, and it stood up. And then
you know
we
what?
Saw... What?
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Are you sure? Okay. So there's a neighbor two doors down that has a black dog. And I saw something, and at first, I will be honest, I really believed it was a dog. As I've processed what's gone on in my mind the last couple of days, I now believe it was a baby Bigfoot. I never saw anything run from those people's house. And then all of a sudden, I saw my next-door neighbor's place. I saw what I thought was a black dog, and it didn't make sense that it was a dog then because of the way it looked, but it was all black, and it was little. I want to say, like, the size of a medium-sized to a large-sized dog. And it was, like, running in an erratic pattern back to where the white one was at. And then we heard what sounded like six barks from a dog. And I, because I said to Pat, what is that? And then I heard those six barks, and I thought, oh, it's just, it's got to be a dog. But it didn't sound like the dog next door. And that dog was in a kennel, and that dog is white. It's not black. And I never saw this thing go back to the other neighbors, but it barked six times, and then it was instantly quiet. If they would have zapped it, because the thing, whatever it was, ran to the white Bigfoot. If it was a dog that was chasing them, they would have zapped it. It would have howled. It would have, you know, acted like it was in pain. It didn't. There was six barks and then nothing. It was dead quiet. And then right after that, yeah, go ahead, because you saw some afterwards after that.
Well, I was going to say I saw the white Bigfoot, but I think he was actually on a belly crawl. I really do. He's going close to the ground. And then in the other tree on the right-hand side, I saw a head peek out from behind said tree. And the white one was just, they were really fast. I mean, when you see them, they're really kind of, even their, you know, like a movement of the hand and stuff, it's just quick. I don't know what that is, why they're so quick. I mean, is it because, you know, their vibrations are up, and see, when your vibrations are up, you know, like if I'm at a 10th vibration or whatever, I guess you won't be able to see me. I don't know. I mean, but they are quick, and they're quicker than a dog, and I'd say quicker than a horse. They're just fast.
Wow. Well,
yeah, because it came back
John,
out of the woods when he saw it the second time. Did you tell him that you saw the black one, though, back there, too?
No, I saw the black one. He poked his head out from behind the tree.
But that was an adult. The one I saw that was black, I think, was a baby.
I didn't see him. I saw the adult poke his head out. But I saw the white one, but I didn't see the other one. Because that, probably because I was looking at the tree.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what. I will be there. Robin, if it's all right, I will be coming by Thursday evening to crash on your couch en route to Clayton, Georgia, for the Georgia, to do some promotion for the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. Maybe you and Pat and I can get those binoculars out and see what we can see. How does that sound?
Sure thing.
Well, I think that'll be a blast. And we'll call Dr. Trey. We'll let him know what we see. I think it'd be kind of cool. Because I always I always have good experiences when we try to go out there and see things, like, you know, especially like when we're trying to find your cats or your dogs or whatever when they get loose and all that. And
well,
it's a lot of fun.
Funny because the night after that happened, where we saw those in the backyard, because it was like a freak show back there. The next night, Pat and I were laying in bed watching a movie, and as I've said multiple times, I don't have curtains on my window. Everybody could think I'm a horrible person. I don't put curtains on my windows. Yes, I change in the bathroom behind closed doors, but I don't because I like to look out in the yard and watch the puts at night. That's why I do it. Pat had blinds on his side by the window, but the cat destroyed the blinds, and I just have never put up curtains because they don't like it. They like to be able to look in and see. And I've had so many different times that I've seen them at night because I'm up much later than Pat is, and physically saw them looking in. Like Brownie was outside the window the one night. I woke up and I looked over, and there was light through one window. The other one was blacked out. And I'm like, what in the world's going on? Why is there no light?
That.
I know he does.
I remember that night.
And he was standing.
I woke
the
up.
Top of,
I know, he's standing right in front of the window.
Yeah.
My bed is like right in front of the freaking window. So I get up and not thinking, you know, I mean, I'm just doing it by habit. I get up and I go to the bathroom and I come back. And then Robin says, well, it's your turn. What are you talking about? And she told me that Brownie was standing right in front of the window. He's smiling.
I know,
at
it's
her.
His turn to entertain
and
him.
And then what he did,
I,
what
I
he did was
him.
He just, yeah, he walked, he just jaunted off to the side so I wouldn't see him. So I go, why did she, he still laughs about that.
But the thing was, is the top of our window is 10 feet off the ground, at the top of the window.
He was bending over.
Yeah, he had blocked that hole out, and then he had his head bending down so he could look in the window. And I happened to,
yeah.
I was asleep. I happened to roll over and something made me wake up. I don't know what it was, probably him. I opened my eyes and he's smiling in the window at me. Are you kidding me right now? You know, I'm like, Pat, you're keeping him occupied. Apparently I've already done mine.
Yeah,
that's
what she said.
But the night after we saw the ones in the backyard, the following night, Pat and I are watching a movie, and I'm sitting here, and I'm watching this white one dart across the front yard. And I'm like, I swear he's out there, because I would catch him at different times where he would go by the cat pens or he would go by the duck pen, you know, or he'd duck behind a car. And I'm like, you know, I can see making a mistake on what I'm seeing once, but 3, 4, and 5 times, at that point, it gets a little to the point where you already know what you're seeing.
So I get up, I have to get up early for work. And the other day, I think it was yesterday, I woke up and it's like five in the morning, and I hear this sound. It's not a dog. It wasn't a turtle. And it's just like, what the heck was that? There's a lot of stuff that goes on in this house. I mean, like, just we had this thing going on, and Robin saw it first. She said she saw these octagon shapes up on the ceiling, and then
on the walls.
All over the walls, and I forgot about it. And I told her, I said, my God, I just woke up, and like, there's these octagon shapes all over the bedroom ceiling. The walls, everything. I said, what the heck was that? And then she goes, well, I told you, I saw it. I go, oh, okay, yeah, I forgot you told me about that. And I came out here in the living room where the TV is, and I wake up, and there they are again. I've seen them 3 times so far. And I don't know what they are, force field. I don't know. It's really
They're
odd.
Really bizarre. Because when I first started seeing them, because like I said, I'm up late at night. Pat is the one that, you know, because of work, he goes to bed early. And he's basically a Cupid doll. If he's at any angle whatsoever, the eyes close and he's gone. Okay, like he really is like those dolls we had when we were kids. And So he's sound asleep, and you can, like, a time bomb wouldn't wake him up. But I'll be laying here, and all of a sudden, all the walls and the ceiling in the bedroom have what look like octagon honeycomb shapes through the whole thing. Like, literally, behind me, on all four walls, on the ceiling. And it was like, when it first started happening, I thought I was seeing things. I even put a different pair of glasses on that I had because I thought, well, maybe it's my glasses, something's wrong. But it was there, and I would feel what felt like a low, low vibration. And that went on for months, and I kept telling him it was going on, and he's like, I haven't seen it, I haven't seen it. And then it started doing it in the bathroom that's attached to the bedroom. And as time goes by, it seems to be going through more and more of the house. But he finally saw it. I'm like, okay, good, you did see it. I'm not certifiably crazy. Like, I don't know what this thing is, if it's a protection grid the foots are doing or if the ETs are doing it. I have no idea because literally we live in ET Central. This is the list that we've had here. Dogman, Bigfoot, Lizardman, ET,
Job,
Dimensionals, Cat People, whatever the hell Job is, which we love Job, but whatever he is, he's here. All these different creatures that come in and out of portals have been here. I've got a picture of a Pukwudgie here, which those things, nobody should ever mess with them. They will kill you dead if they get a chance. But I only saw one, and they usually run in groups. And I have a picture of the thing. Like, how in the world I even got this picture, I don't know. And the foot said they dealt with them, so I'm not going to worry about them. But, I mean, all these things, this is what goes on here. Like, life is not normal. It's not going to ever be normal. And we're fine with it. You know, Pat and I have talked about this, and we're actually really blessed because we get to see a side of the world that most people will never, ever get to know.
Yeah.
And now these UFOs have gotten out of control. Like, it is just – I'm not noticing a lot of problems. We had one group of ETs that were here in December that were kind of violent, and I don't think – the ones that are still alive will be coming back anytime soon. So
well,
those
we
are
out,
okay. But yeah, it was when it went after Caitlin. Okay.
No. Well, I know, but me and Kate and Ryan were out front, and I had the flashlight out, and I'm shining it and turning it off and on, and the UFO actually bent its wings and it twirled. It was, you know, like, you know, you do a jet plane, you bend the wings back and forth. It was doing that. It was signaling that they saw us. I came home one night, it's like at midnight, and I call it the sports model. This thing was right above the tree line by the garage. This thing was just unbelievable. It was a flying saucer, inner ring was solid white, and the outer ring was just absolute black. And it showed itself, and then it was like, boom, it was gone. I just couldn't believe it. That's my first UFO I ever saw.
And Robin and Pat, it's like you look at it and you say, I can't believe what I'm seeing. That's like when I saw my first UFO. It's like, wait a second. This is not right. Okay, but now I want to ask the two of you a question, and this is an important question. I am investigating something called the Sydney Monsters. That was a sighting in 1973 in Taber City, North Carolina, right over the South Carolina line. So let me tell you a little bit about, because I've been, you know, Robin and Pat, I mean, I've been trying to have a chance to talk to you about this, but I have not because we've all been so busy. And so every account of the Sydney Monsters, it talks about how they are about 8 feet tall. They have hair all over them. I got my artist, Dylan Tomash, Dylan drew a picture, and you know what he drew? He drew a Bigfoot. It's the most amazing thing.
I am not convinced they are Bigfoot. I'm sorry. I'm not convinced they're Bigfoot. But that's just my opinion. That doesn't mean anything, really. And I'll tell you why. At first, when you told me about it, I would say, knowing the area, Bigfoot hands down. However, then you started talking more about it, and you were talking about the clothing and the shoes and all this. I think they are trolls. I don't believe they're Bigfoot. Yeah, they had, like, what, John, tell him.
What, describe the Sydney Monsters?
Well, the clothing and the stuff that was on them.
Okay, they had torn and ragged pants. They had red and green plaid shirts. And
so
they didn't
have a great fashion sense.
No, they didn't. They had a Christmas fashion. I don't know what these are. And they had, both of them had only one complete arm. The other arm was just, you know, not at all there. And so Robin, you know, we talked about him maybe being Bigfoot.
Yeah.
What do you think now?
Here's the thing. Trolls are not normally known for South Carolina. Like, I would have to do some digging, but I wouldn't rule it out. And they generally can be a little bit bigger, but they are covered, you know, you can get the hair all over them and that kind of thing. And there's a lot of things out there, and I really stress this. There is so many cryptids and things that have been manufactured by the ETs and dropped here, and things that our government's made and dropped here, that you may never actually know what it is. Now, I'm not going to say that you would not see a Bigfoot that has clothing on, but let me explain. You will get some that will grab clothes off people's clothesline and try to wear them or whatever. So that's not impossible. It's unlikely, but not impossible, because it has happened. However, you're talking that at 8 feet, you've got to be looking at an average of about 300 to 400 pounds, if not heavier, depending on the body style. Normally, they have such a wide hip to put regular pants on. Now, like when Fox, when Janice's grandfather tried to put clothes on Fox, he had to go to the big and tall shop, and those didn't really fit either. And shirts are one thing you may get them to try to get on. I just can't see the pant thing. I'm not saying that they can't, but, and then the shoes there's no way a shoe would fit. They couldn't get them to fit them.
You remember Blackie in the backyard?
Yeah.
He's wearing animal skins and stuff.
Yeah, when they wear clothing, they will get the animal skins. That is much, much more common. But I'm just wondering now, is it possible that it is a Bigfoot? Of course it's possible, 100%. That would be the most likely thing that you would say it is. But being the most likely thing is only because that's what's more talked about and that's what we know more about. That doesn't necessarily mean that's what it is. You know, again, I refer to the cryptid running around here that I have no clue what that thing is. It's nice. It's not aggressive, but it's still here. And it certainly isn't a Bigfoot. But unless you, you know, see a rabbit that has antlers and weighs 300 or 400 pounds, you know, and has legs of a deer. I mean, it's just bizarre. But anyway, so the thing with the clothing, you know, if they went into somebody's yard and this person had, you know, a couple of those kind of shirts and a couple of pants that are hanging on the line, is it a possibility that they would grab them? Yeah, definitely. I just don't know how they would get pants that would fit, because they're so broad across the waist, and they've got a real bubble butt.
The shoulder width is like 5 foot.
Well, the shirts were tattered and torn, and that could be because they didn't fit correctly. So, I mean, there's an explanation for the shirts. The shoes and the pants are what throw me. You know, like I said, when Fox put on, they put clothes on Fox, because he didn't leave my very long, but her grandfather went to the Big and Tall shop to try to find something that could cover him because her grandmother was not comfortable with his male appendages hanging out in front of small children, being Janice and her sister. You know, I mean, certain things you don't want to see flapping in the wind around the kids. But
you'd have to
you
go
know,
to a really big and really tall shop. Like, exactly. Really, really big and tall.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, they don't always know that not everything's going to fit. They stole clothes out of our garage when, and this was before Pat and I were together, we had bags of children's clothing that were anywhere from newborn to like a toddler two to a toddler three maybe. And my daughter-in-law was supposed to bring over tubs to put them in. She originally brought them over in garbage bags. And I told her, I said, you can store them out there, but the mice, I live in the woods. The mice are going to get them in a matter of a minute. She said, well, I'll bring over totes for them. Well, she never got a chance to bring the totes over because I always kept the garage door up because the foots would go in there if it was storming or whatever, and they were happened to be on the property. And, of course, you know, they took all kinds of stuff out of there. They swiped, like, 98% of our tools. They brought them back 2 years later, rusted, but they brought them back. But they got hold of these bags of clothes. They just were not there anymore, and I actually found them out in our woods, and they had taken the bags and just shredded the bags. And I want to say 90% of the clothes were gone. But that doesn't mean they got them to fit anybody. You know, they might have used them to put in the beds for warmth. I don't know what they did with them. I really don't. So it's not impossible to see them. And I know that there's also another one that was in Janice's group that had either a blanket or a shirt or something. That it was a female that had it all the time. So that doesn't make it impossible. The arm thing is really peculiar. Like, I can see it on one. It could be a deficiency. It could be an injury. But on two? So that's kind of a little bit odd as well. You know, I would have to see the, like, maybe send me a picture of the sketch or whatever, and I'll have to do some digging, see if I can focus on it and figure out what it is. But, you know, like I said, the trolls, yeah, I would be more inclined to see, you know, clothing and things like that on them. And they're just as nasty as can be. You know, the ones up in the mountains are absolutely massive. You know, Manitou isn't going to match that description, so he's out of it. Imp isn't going to match that description. He's got a long tail, so he's out of it. And they have a rubbery skin. They don't have any hair. You know, the Manitou's got more of a bullhead. It's the Wendigo that I was thinking of. That doesn't match a Wendigo either.
Well, what I'll do is I will send you the picture that Dylan drew of one of these things, and I'm still yet to go visit Rose Williamson. Rose is the lady that had the most experience with them, and so
and she
I'm going to show
firsthand.
That.
And
yes, she did. And also, I found out as I was interviewing, I can't say her name. Because she did not allow me to say it, but her father was a local politician, and she saw the Sydney Monsters, and she said that they were pretty amazing, they were very real, and and also her sister won an art contest for drawing the best image of the Sydney Monsters. And I've got to go back to the Tabor City Tribune, and I've got to get or take a picture of the winning piece
of
artwork.
Yeah, I'd be really interested if the ones that she has had the problem with the arm. And, you know, like you said, the most logical the thing would be that they were Bigfoot. I'm not even going to lie. That would make the most sense. But there's just some things that are kind of quirky about it. So I'd be really interested to see what her version of them was. You know what I'm saying?
Or her sister's version, her sister that won the art contest. So I'm going to go up there tomorrow and see if I can find that because it was apparently in the newspaper. And we got to get that. I think that's one of the most important artifacts we can get.
Yeah, I mean, because if they are a Bigfoot, then it could be that these two particular individuals were twins and did have a genetic problem with the arm. I mean, that's not unheard of. They are prone to genetic difficulties, you know, well, of course, especially with feet. They have a lot of feet problems. And, you know, like I said, if they went and somebody had clothes hanging out, let's say somebody's husband, you know, had a bunch of green flannel shirts or whatever, that would not surprise me because they'll swipe them. They may not even fit in them, but they'll take them. Pat,
yeah.
That's what I'm going to do with your shirt. Pat has all these shirts that he absolutely loves, and they have holes in them. That's what I'm going to do, babe. I'm going to put them on a clothesline and see if ours will take them. Because he won't get rid of them. We'll give them to the big
guy. I told you, I'm Fred Mertz.
Oh, my gosh. Fred, no. Fred Mertz doesn't have as many holes as yours does.
Ricardo.
He loves these shirts. Yeah, oh, there you go. I'm going to give them to the Bigfoot. Yeah, tell them about
the... They wouldn't fit them anyway.
Yeah, tell them about the white saucers across the top of the trees.
The what?
The white saucers you watched that went across the top of the trees, and then I saw it the following night.
Oh, yeah. So she was sick, and she didn't want me getting what she had, so I was sleeping out on the round couch out in the living room. So
I had COVID. That's why I didn't want him to get it.
Yeah, she had COVID. And I saw something. I'm laying here, and you could see when you're laying the top of the trees. Well, I seen something go by, and it was bright. But it was hauling ass down the road toward the swamp. And it was the UFO. It had to have been because there's no other, it didn't make a peep of a sound. I mean, if you have like a helicopter, a plane flying at tree level down the road here, you're going to hear it. I didn't hear anything. And then I got up and I looked and it was going off over toward the swamp over there and had that red light behind it, just like on the video. And she saw it, a couple nights later?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of, that UFO Ryan saw was, he's got a good video of it. She saw one, she was out by the mailbox out there waiting for somebody to come by, and she had to kind of, when they had to show them where we lived, and she said she saw this huge triangle craft just show up, and then she turned the lights on and it cloaked again. And then you told me you saw, you're going to the end market over there, and you looked back and you saw the triangle UFO above the house.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Thing is,
it's amazing. And I tell you what, Robin, would it be permissible for me to put the footage that you sent to me of that UFO on the ScaryCast Facebook page? Would that be permissible?
Sure.
Okay, well, I'll do it.
Yep, it was actually, the footage and the photos for the first time went live on Sunday night. The only other place they were at was someplace that I did not expect them to show up. But regardless, they actually went live on World Bigfoot Radio last night. So, yeah, you are more than welcome to put them up on yours.
We'll do it. You'll only be the second one that
could put it up.
Okay, well, I will do that, and I'll make an announcement because we got, I don't know, about 600 people on ScaryCast that like it. So I'll put that out there, and we'll let everybody see it, and it's amazing to say the least. It is amazing to say the least. We get some of the best stuff because of you folks, and, I mean, it's just unbelievable. And so And you know what? Now, Dr. Trey Donaway, I got a question to ask you.
Sure,
you ready?
Ready.
There is one place that I have always, well, in the last year, because I've been there twice, there is one place that you have directed me to, which is the old town of Boykin, South Carolina, which is down, what is it, 261, or when you go south of Camden, and you take 261, that place is one of the creepiest places I have ever been, and it's like you've done a fundraiser or two there. Have they ever experienced anything with UFOs there that you know of?
Not that I know of, John. Now, why do you consider it creepy?
I get a very strange feeling. The two times that I was there, I get a very strange feeling, and just one of those things. It's hard to quantify, but it's just like Boykin. It's an old little town. It's got what, about five or six or seven little buildings, and I just get the creepiest feeling in Boykin. We wanted to try to do an event there or two, and that hasn't worked out yet. But I'll tell you what, there's something. It's nothing that I can pinpoint, but it is a creepy, creepy feeling. So I don't know. I'll just say that, nobody needs to go exploring there. I don't think it's safe. I don't know what's there, but it's kind of creepy. So I'll just leave it at that, and I'll just say, you know, do it at your own risk.
I've never heard of anything creepy going on there. They got a great restaurant, and now there was a mass drowning at the turn of the 20th century. They had a Sunday picnic group out there, and they were on the Boykin Mill Pond, and the boat capsized, and a lot of people were drowned. But the last federal officer in the Civil War was shot lethally, died at one of the last engagements of the Civil War in South Carolina at that location. But I don't know of any supernatural or UFO type of activities there.
Well, I was just telling you what I thought, and I remember when I came there and found you and Janie, and y'all were working to put together this marvelous fundraiser that that Margaret, our mutual friend, did, and it just, I don't know, just everything about that place was a little bit creepy. But that's okay.
It's, well, you're tuned differently, so I respect your perceptions, but I've never found anything creepy there.
Well, you know what I'll do? Maybe one day I will take my dowsing rods there and see what I find. That would be the key, and I will do that, and I'll let you know. Or I might just give you a call. We'll go have coffee at McDonald's like we do, and then then we'll go down to Boykin, and we'll take my dowsing rods and see what we can find, because we've had some success with the dowsing rods, especially at your house, at the house on the lake, on Lake Water East. So we'll see what we get. But yeah, it's kind of fun, and I've got those dowsing rods are getting out. I mean, they're in Myrtle Beach now. I've got a fellow named Nico. We're probably going to have him on here sooner than later. And he, his uncle, he said, inhabits their house. His uncle passed away, I mean, probably 5 or 6 years ago. And he said, and his mother says, that his uncle inhabits their house. Well, he told me Sunday morning, because we get together and have coffee at the Dunkin' Donuts. Somebody wants to come to Dunkin' Donuts across from the food line in Socastee, you know, you can come and hang out with me and Nico. But he said, he tried it in his room where there is a picture of his uncle. And he got some very interesting results and all that. So, you know, those copper dowsing rods, number six copper, that they really do mm-hmm. work. And absolutely.
I've got some here. I have them. I've been using them forever, but I do have them.
That's where I found them.
When you go ahead and use the dowsing rods, you can go around the whole house, and you won't get them coming together until you get in front of Robin.
That's the truth.
Yeah, it was so funny. We got these things. A friend of mine had a pair.
Every single time. It happened.
I know. And she got me a pair and sent it. And I said to Pat, I don't know anything about using these crazy things. And he's walking around the house with them, and they're just staying straight out there. No problem. He comes by me, and they cross, a huge cross.
I know, every time.
Yeah, I'm not normal.
Robin, I tell you what, Robin, on Thursday night when I drop by, I'll bring my dowsing rods, and we'll both use them, and we'll see what we see, because I'm sure it's going to be pretty spectacular. So we'll do that down there south of Columbia where you are, and that's all we'll say about where you are. But, you know, it's just going to be a lot of fun, and we have incredible adventures.
I don't know what's going on in the front yard right now, but something major is going on in my front yard while I'm talking to you guys. Like, even we have this dog, and John knows her, she's a chocolate lab, and she's, like, totally mellow. It takes a lot to get her worked up. And even she is having a fit about something outside this window. While we've been talking, I've seen a couple of shadows move, like, between the cars. And we have two pens out front that are cat pens for the cats that absolutely despise having to be inside and want to be outside. And I'm terrified something will happen to them. So I made them a pen outside, and it's covered. They can't get out of it. Nothing can get to them other than the foots go in and take their cat food all the time. And they'll take all the cat food out of the bowl, and then they'll fill the bowl with pine cones. And pine cones cannot get in this pen because the bars on it are not wide enough for a pine cone to go through. And there's tops on these pens, so they can't fall down into the pen. But yet, when I go in there to check them, the cat food, and I put buckets of cat food in there so everybody has food at any given time. And the cat food will be gone, and it will be filled with pine cones. But there's something that keeps going between the cars and the cat pens and where the duck pen is. And I thought maybe it was me.
Zip ties were cut.
Yeah, that was weird. There's a top on the duck pen, and it's like it's not a tarp. It's made out of a rubbery mesh, so airflow can get through it. But it's basically like a shade screen, and I have it over the top of it so my daughter's ducks won't fly out. And I've got it anchored with zip ties. And yesterday we went out there, and the whole thing was coming down. And I thought, you know, why in the world? And I checked the zip ties. They were cut. They were clear cuts right through it. And they weren't like that in the morning. So I don't know what's going on with that. But I've been watching these dark shapes move, and I've seen them two or three times now. And they're going in between the cars and over by the cat and the duck pen.
What?
And Monkey, who is our chocolate lab, we call her Monkey because she literally can climb glass if she wants to. And she's been over here getting all excited, looking out the window with her ears up and pacing and trying to find out what's outside. So I don't know what's going on out there. They hit the house a little while ago. They hit the side of the house with the beds on.
Mm-hmm. So you've got lots of interesting things going on there. And I will say this, and what I wanted to do is I wanted to recap my first night there. We were doing the Lizard Man festival, and
he said he was never coming back.
That's right. I stay there all the time now. So here's the deal. So I bring Maestro with me, and, you know, I'm pretty much not afraid of anything when Maestro is around. Because he's about 300 pounds, and he's one of the toughest men that I know. But so we're out there. in the front yard, and all of a sudden there's nothing going on, and to the left side of the house, as you're standing looking at the looking at the road, the trees start shaking. Now, they're not blow, it's not, you know, when trees blow, they blow back and they forth, and this is not what was happening. Those trees are shaking. And I looked at Robin and I said, "What on earth is that?" She said, "Well, I told them you were coming here, and I told them that I'd like for them to do something to let you know they were there." I said, "Oh my God, okay." So the trees are shaking. So anyway, we get our stuff out of the car. I take it upstairs, and then I go down and I say, "Robin, let's go out back and see what's going on there." And so we're standing there on her back, and I see what looks like a bit of a searchlight. It was very faint, but it was definitely there, and it was moving around her backyard. And I mean, this is a fact. And I said, "What is that?" She said, "Oh, that's Brownie. He was going to show you something, so he showed you this." It was a little terrifying. Because
and then we had a white Bigfoot do the belly crawl, and that was right across the backyard. And I'm like, "What is that white thing that just went darting across the yard?"
Yeah, and I saw it for sure, and it was just amazing. So I mean, I've seen things. Pat and I were with the binoculars. We're going to get Ryan and Pat and me out there Thursday night, and we're going to see what we see. And then you, Robin, we're going to get everybody out there, and we're going to see what we see, because it's just amazing when we go to the McRae's house. It's just unbelievable. So things really do happen. I can sit here in my little living room, and I can say, you know, this stuff really does happen, and it's terrifying, but it's cool. But it's terrifying. It really does happen. So we'll do that on Thursday night, and I think it's been kind of interesting as we get to talk about the things that happen at your house. Yes, ma'am.
This what I was going to say is the thing is you know, other than myself, nobody has ever gotten hurt here. None of these things are hurting anybody. I've had a couple attacks on me, but that's been going on since I was a kid. It's nothing that's unexpected, let me say that. But other than that, nobody gets hurt. You know, we had one issue right before Christmas with three ETs that decided if they couldn't get to me, they were going to get to my daughter, which was really a bad idea. And so they couldn't get on the property. I have energy bubbles over this property. They couldn't get on the property. So they're standing over right next to the pump house in the brush because they can't get on the property, but they can project images. And they were projecting images in my daughter's head, trying to scare the crap out of her. And she's like, "Mom, they're showing me this and this and this and this and this." And then they just decided they were going to try to do a zapping on her. And the thing with zapping is we can zap just as much as they can. So I had her fiance take her upstairs, and I'm like, I had taught both the kids how to do energy bubbles around each other. I'm like, "Bubble her, don't leave your room." And he's like, "Well, come on, get in the house. I'm like, "Oh no, you guys go in the house. I got this." So that was dealt with. And they're not coming back anytime soon. So that was fine. But normally this place is pretty much protected. It's pretty locked down. Like if something's going to project something in, that, you know, that's going to happen. But they can't physically get in. And so as many crazy things that go on here, everybody's safe. Like I've never had anybody get hurt. Nobody's ever been attacked. You know, it's not that big of a deal to us. We're so used to it. I had a friend of mine come from Alaska, and she pulled into the property, and she's like, and she didn't know anything about the energy bubble. And she's like, "Oh my gosh, what did I just drive through?" And I'm like, "What do you mean?" And she's like, "It felt like I went through a big energy field, and then all of a sudden I pulled in your, you know, got in your yard, and it's just so calm and so peaceful. She said, oh my gosh, this feels so good. And I'm like, I've done so much energy work on this place when I moved in, you know, so that's probably why. But, you know, all these crazy things go on, but yet nobody's gotten hurt. I mean, we even haven't even had animals get hurt. So we've been really fortunate. It's, you know, crazy here in any given time or day, but, you know, they get in the garage. They've kicked in the bottom of the door trying to get in the garage because they want to be with the animals, you know, and poor Pat had to fix that, and that was a mess. They almost didn't get that fixed. Our car was trapped in there, and that was the second time they messed with the door. And then they've gotten in there before and let out all the animals, or things have been moved around, or things have disappeared or whatever. But they've not hurt anybody. I mean, we've been really fortunate, I think.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah, I think it's remarkable that everyone has stayed as safe as they have, because you guys certainly do have a very high number of events at your house.
Yeah, the only thing that's ever hurt anybody is there's been two attempts by the ETs on me, and that's something that's been going on since I was little. So that's not going to change anytime soon. And it's been quite a while since that happened.
What type of injuries do they try to inflict?
On me?
Yes.
The one time when we were living in Michigan, I ended up in intensive care. They put something into my lungs, and I just had chest x-rays full, everything. I was 100%, and within 12 hours, Pat was the one that found out what had happened. Because, Pat, you tell them.
So I'm there, and I'm asleep, and I feel something literally take its fingers and open my mouth. It opens my mouth, puts something in it, and then the fingers close my mouth. And so I'm getting ready to leave, and Robin wanted to kiss me. I said, no. They put something in my mouth. I said, if you kiss me, you're going to get it. And
well, you heard him say it'll go down in my lungs and kill me.
What's that?
I said you had heard them. They didn't know you were talking to them, and they heard you. Or you overheard them, you said, where they said they were going to put that getting in my lungs to kill me.
Did you ever identify what the object was?
No, I don't know. I mean, I have
no idea.
Did
it go away on its own so it was
no,
soluble in the mouth, or did it?
No.
See, the thing is like things that you see from a lot of the stuff, it could have been just as small as a pea or just drop it in there.
Well,
I mean, it didn't have to be big or anything.
No, but he told me that. He's like, I can't kiss you while I'm here. And we weren't married at the time. He was living out of state, and he had come in state. And I said, you're not going to come all this way and not give me a kiss. So I went up, and I kissed him. And it was, like, almost instantaneous. All of a sudden, I started feeling really tired. Couldn't figure out why I was so tired. And finally, he said, you know, because I had children living at home at the time. He's like, I got the kids. You go to bed. So I went to bed. And that was on Saturday. The next day on Sunday, he was supposed to go home, and all I wanted to do was sleep. And he said, I think I need to stay here. I'm not going to go back home. And I said, no, you have to because you need to work.
I need to
so
stay
he
there.
Went, yeah, he needed to stay with me. And so he told my daughter, don't leave your mom alone tomorrow. You're not going to school. Well, Caitlin thought that was great.
Yeah, not
her,
to go to school.
You know, yeah, and because, you know, here Pat told her she didn't have to go to school, so she was already in love with Pat to begin with, and that just sealed the deal. And so I was like, I don't care. I'm too tired. So I slept all day Sunday. Monday, I had a mini pig and a collie that would let me know if I was having seizures because I have seizures. And they started coming in and doing what they normally do for a seizure. And I'm like, I know I'm not having a seizure. And Brownie, I heard Brownie. and I could barely hear him. That was the other thing that really threw me off, because I always can hear him. I could barely hear him, and he said, "You're in trouble. You've got to go to the hospital. You're in trouble." So I said to my daughter,
sometimes
I said, listen.
Something will block you.
Yeah, and I said to my daughter, I said, "I'm going to have to call an ambulance because I'm too weak to drive." And she said, "Mom, where don't you feel good?" I said, "I feel fine. I just am tired. That's my only symptom is I'm tired." So anyway, the neighbor across the street came over and took me to the hospital. My daughter went with me, and I got to the hospital, and they got me in right away. They were really sweet about it, and everything just kind of happened really fast at that point. Next thing I know, they're asking me, telling me that my heart's getting ready to crash, that they're going to take me to ICU. A crash team's coming. I need to try to stay calm, and I'm like, I'm too tired to get worked up. Like, I didn't have a cough. I didn't have a fever. I had nothing other than I was tired. So they got me up and they put me in ICU and came in and said that I had sepsis pneumonia. This is impossible because I just had chest x-rays and blood work up done late Thursday night, later on the day Thursday. The test came back on Friday because I had a physical. Because of my health issues, my doctor would do these physicals two or three times a year. Everything was fine. My blood workup was fine. My chest x-rays were clear. None of this stuff was going on. And then this happens on Saturday. So now I'm in the hospital and I'm in intensive care, and they come in and they tell me that my lungs are full. And I said, but I don't even have to cough. And they're like, we need you to cough. So I go ahead and I cough because they wanted to analyze what was in my lungs. And this stuff, it looked like tar. And it came out, and so they took it to do a culture on it. And they gave me this rundown that they didn't know. They weren't going to tell me I wasn't going to make it, but they weren't going to tell me that I was, and that, you know, they wanted me to know that they were going to do everything they possibly could, but that they felt it was important that I contact any family members that needed to be contacted, that if I lived, I would be 6 months in intensive care, 6 months in rehab before I would be going home. So while they're testing this stuff, I'm laying there. First, all the spirits were coming up and leaning over the top of me, and I couldn't hear them. And I thought to myself, I'm in really deep trouble here because I can't hear them. I've never not been able to hear them before. That doesn't work. That doesn't happen. And I'm like, I'm in big trouble. The only thing that I did do before I went in is I told Caitlin, I said, get hold of Pat and tell him to get hold of Wanda. Wanda and Pat and I work as a three-way team on a lot of this paranormal stuff, and work with the foots. And we have Wanda and I, for years before I ever met Pat, have a backup. If one of us gets in trouble, all we have to do is call. We don't have to say anything. No words have to be spoken. If just make the call, and we know who to contact to get help. So Pat called Wanda. She sent who was necessary, as well as Brownie's mom, who's also a healer. And so they were coming, but I couldn't hear anybody. I couldn't hear the ghost at all. And I'm thinking, this is just so bad. And I was too weak to move at that point. I could, you know, they had me on oxygen and everything, and I'm laying there. I remember when the foots got there, I felt them put their hands on my legs, and I felt like a vibration, and I heard them hum. And right after they did that, I felt 110%. I was out of intensive care in 12 hours and home in less than 24.
Wow, that's great.
So they tested this black tar stuff, you know, and they came back and they said, it took them almost 6 weeks to get back with me on it. They said they sent it to four or five labs. They said, I sent it to the top labs in the country. He said, I sent it out to Texas. It went out to California. I don't know where all these labs are. They just told me Texas and California. They said, nobody can identify what this is. We have no idea what came out of your lungs.
Well,
I don't understand why it left so quickly.
And then the big hit started.
When
they went after the Bigfoot.
Yeah, they did. They were doing putting the same thing in the Bigfoot. We worked like crazy for months afterwards because the foots had taught me how to heal them with energy. And I'm like pulling all this stuff out of them, and it went through all of them. I mean, this lasted for months, and the foots all claim it came from the ETs. Now, the times they've attacked me here, the first time it wasn't as bad. It was more frightening because this thing just showed, like I woke up and it was in my room. it never got a chance to do anything because I got it out of here. But the other time I woke up, well, I actually wasn't asleep. I was watching TV. Pat was asleep. There were three ETs standing by me. I looked up and there was three ETs standing by the door. And I was wide awake. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? So I went to go reach Pat and I couldn't move. It was like I was paralyzed. I couldn't turn my head. I couldn't move anything in my body. So I tried to look over just, you know, with my eyes, moving my eyes sideways, and there was a taller ET that was standing next to the bed, and it put this thing on my head. It was like an upside-down colander, only it was rubbery and slimy and had these tentacles on it, and they put it on my head, and I remember the tentacles were, it's like they were alive. They were moving all over my face, all over my head. I couldn't breathe. Like there, these things were in my face and over and across my mouth. I literally could not breathe. And I started to panic, and I thought, why are you panicking? You teach people how to deal with this every day. You know, I can zap things. And I thought, I can't zap anything because I can't move my hands. I'm literally paralyzed. I can, you know, move my eyes, and that's it. And I thought, you know what? You teach people every day how to shoot energy from all parts of their body. That's what I'm going to do. And I just, instead of focusing on them being here, because I was terrified, until I got it in my head, you need to quit focusing on them and do what you're trained to do. You know, the foot's taught you how to deal with this. Quit panicking and just do it. So that's what I did, and it took care of all of it. I mean, they were out of here in a heartbeat. But they've tried over the years multiple times. I've had bruises, broken bones, cuts. Real familiar with leaving these small triangular impressions on my skin, and now they're doing
shot
it with my daughter.
Shot in your neck.
Yeah, I got shot in the neck. I remember when they did it, it was like a needle that went directly into my neck, and then it felt like, just like when somebody gets anesthetic, like if you're having surgery and they put the mask over you, how you feel like you're getting groggy and then all of a sudden you're out. And when they did that, I felt myself hit the floor. The next morning, I had what felt like a medical hangover, like you get when you just wake up from anesthetic. And I had a hole that was had a little tiny blood scab over it on the side of my neck, and I had scratches on my cheek.
Well, after you had the COVID, remember? And then you had a shot mark in your neck.
Yeah, I had another one in my neck then.
A needle in your neck then.
Yeah, I was like sitting here in bed, and I'm like, I went to go feel my neck for some reason, and there was a scab from it there. It was a fresh one. It's just crazy. Like, this has been going on since I was little. You know, like I said, told you guys before, my first abduction I remember was 4, and at that time they told me I'd been there multiple times. Most of the times they don't hurt me. There are some that would prefer that I'm dead, and I get it, and I know why, and that's fine because I'm not checking out any time. But most of them don't hurt me. They've taken DNA. They've, you know, done all those fun things.
Remember you telling me, said we were watching that one show with Dr. Greer. And then you said, well, I kind of know why they're maybe coming. You know, they always show up around the house. It's because of the abilities that we have.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Remember you said that?
Yeah, and it does. And when you have a higher vibrational, it really, it's like it pings them. It makes it easier for them to find you. And the other thing is, if you're like really upset and depressed, it creates dark energy. And the really bad ones, it helps them locate you. I mean, I've been located even when I'm not in that state, but it does do that. But if you're really happy and you're laughing and you're giggling and you're having a good time, it really is like a beacon. Because when you're happy, it raises that vibration. When the vibration is higher, they can find you easier.
Looks like they can find you no matter what,
yeah,
how you are then. I mean, good grief.
Yeah. They've been anywhere I've ever been. I had one
that
was a saucer come down right in the yard when I was out in the yard when I lived in Michigan.
I remember I was asking you, I said, but I'm sitting there, I go, it's almost like everywhere you go, it's just like, I mean.
It is.
Like we're at my dad's house, okay? And we're in the living room, remember this? And then
yep.
I see
I see something floating in the living room. It's a human shaped, and it's vibrating. And I told her, I said, "What the heck is that?" I said, "There's something floating in the living room." And I don't know if you saw it or not, but we were at my dad's house and stuff started, showing up. And I was out in the garage one time and we were talking. She said, "You said you saw something like a dimensional being or something like that." And I saw the thing. And it's like right next to me. And it just a lot of stuff, where you go, I guess it follows. I have no idea why.
Well, you know what? This has been a very, very interesting talk. And Robin and Pat, we thank you. We'll have you back here another time soon. Now, Robin, next week, we have two friends of yours, correct?
Yes.
And who are they? And tell us why they're coming to Scarycast.
Tracy Novak and her friend Zach. And I sent her a message because she wanted to do it. She was going to get hold of Zach, so I'm waiting to hear back. But I'm pretty sure we'll be good to go. She's been working a lot lately, so I haven't had a chance to get hold of her the last couple of days. But, yeah, they've got some very interesting stories. A lot of paranormal activity has gone on, so I think it should be fun.
Well, that's great. And Robin and Pat, we really appreciate you being here. Dr. Trey Donaway, will we see you back next week?
Absolutely, John. Hopefully I'll be on time next week.
That's okay. I was just about late because we had a few technical difficulties, but we got them somehow. Whenever we have technical difficulties, we always get them solved like 10 seconds before the show starts. So we were all in good shape here, and I wanted to thank everybody for being here on Scarycast. We love having you here. It's a lot of fun, and we will. And I want to say to Dr. Trey Donaway, and I told him this earlier today, Dylan and I had the world's best time at the Irish Festival in Camden that he was part of. He was the host up on the stage, and we had a marvelous time. So I wanted to say thank you for getting us there, and we had a good time, and hopefully we'll be back. And so I guess it's about time to say au revoir, and we'll be back next week on the one, the only Scarycast. So we'll see you, and take care, everybody.
Good night, John.
Night.
Bye.
Night.